I'm really excited about bringing Pastor Rob up here in a minute. I'm going to try to go easy on the adjectives this time around. But I'm always amazed by what Pastor Rob is doing. He's completed 12 Ironmen. He was in special ops in the military. He was a lifeguard. He smuggled Bibles into nations and then smuggled literature out of nations. It's just an amazing one thing after another thing. He was a pastor for 25 years in one of the hardest cities in America to reach people, Reno. That's like a little Las Vegas. And so in the middle of all this sin, God had him as a secret agent, just blowing the doors off. And God has given him a real ability to speak to all people, from seniors to young men. But I know he has a real heart for men and helping them just become all that they can be in life and in God. But we've known each other for a super long time. I used to go out there as a kid with my dad out west, and Pastor Rob would show us what skiing was. And he used to rescue people on the slopes. But I want you to put your hands together for an amazing man, incredible minister, Robert Hamilton Owens.
Hi, everybody. No, good afternoon or good morning, everybody.
Good morning.
How are you?
Great.
Hey, that was a wonderful testimony.
Yeah.
Thank you so much. You know, it's just so exciting to see God move and change and to heal and to deliver and give hope and break bondages and all that stuff that people go to rehab for.
Yeah.
It's good to be back. And I got a message from your mom already on Instagram this morning. Sonny says, "Hey, Robert, you're doing good, you know." Amazing to think that they're watching on Instagram from Atlanta, you know, or people all over the place are watching. So to whoever's watching this morning, wherever you are or whatever, good morning. It's good to be here. Good to be back. I've been given a topic because of what Pastor and Corinne have been talking about, which is about loving people, evangelism, and conspiracy of kindness, and how to break out of the religious box of church and love people and see people get to be saved. And I didn't say this. This will be different than last service a little bit. You know, the word says that we're called sheep, and sheep reproduce sheep pretty naturally. You don't have to tell them, like, it's baby time. Just sheep do sheep, and out come little baby sheep. And awkwardly, you know, the tree is supposed to bear fruit. If the tree doesn't bear fruit, cut it down. Jesus looks at us as sheep, calls us sheep in that sense, and says we should be like sheep, that it's just so natural to reproduce the thing that's going on in us. It leaks onto others, and they get it. And they go, "Whatever you got, I want what you got." I got saved back in the Jesus Freak days, and it was under a tent with a guy named Chuck Smith, who founded Calvary Chapel. And kids would come up and say, you know, "We're all smoking weed or doing this or that. Hey, just come to church tonight." "Why?" "Just come, man. It's a trip. It's the music's good, blah, blah, blah." And then the pastor would say, "Hey, I'm not speaking or we're not doing anything until you bring all your weed and your stuff and just put it at the altar, and then we'll start church." All the kids walked up and threw their stuff on the platform. He said, "Is that it, you guys? Now let's ask Jesus to come." And then boom. And we had a tent out in a bean field that held 3,000 kids. And every Saturday night it was standing room only for kids coming, because kids were telling other kids, "Hey, this is rad. God showed up." And they had a thing afterwards called Afterglow. "Hey, if you want more, go behind the tent." And behind the tent, the counselors were waiting, "In Jesus' name, shabba, all kinds of stuff would break loose, you know." And kids just got captured And it was cool. Like, wow. Kids with ponytails and all kinds of 60s and 70s stuff who didn't fit in the Presbyterian church and the Methodist church. Like, there was a stodgy old church. And here comes some guy with a style that allows kids to come in and not be judged, but loved. And that went on for Saturday night after Saturday night after Saturday night after Saturday night, 5, 6, 7 years. And I say that because sheep reproduce sheep. When you're excited, you tell your friends. When you have something good, you share it. It doesn't mean like you're an evangelist. You're just leaking your stuff. What's going on in your life? Man, I'm really getting it together. I'm working on this, or this happened to me. And people share. And the challenge is that once we get into the system of church, we stop thinking that excitedly, and all of a sudden we settle into church. And we settle into life. Hey, that was great music. Or, hey, that was a great sermon. That was a great sermon. That was a great time. Hey, it's great to be in church. Have you shared that excitement with anybody lately? Well, it's, you know, it's sort of risky who you're going to share it with and how you share it. And, you know, some people wouldn't understand. And pretty soon, sheep stop reproducing sheep. And they get religious. And you lose your non-Christian friends, and you end up with Christian friends. That's them, and this is us. Hello? So when the Lord told me to pastor, I said, you got to be kidding me. I don't like the church. I mean, the church that my parents raised me in. Stand up, sit down, be good, sit in the same row, show up, get your pin, wear it. And I remember the Lord said to me, I was putting a guy in a body bag one day. And the Lord said to me, you're always rescuing people. You know, you're a beach lifeguard, you're a ski patrolman, now you're a combat paramedic. You rescue Army, Navy, Marines, and then some civilians. And you're always rescuing people. I want you to stop rescuing people's outsides, and I want you to start rescuing their insides. And I said, but I don't like church. I don't go to church much. I don't like church. Me and Jesus were hot. We have our deal. But you send me in the system, and it just seems like they dumb it down to make it all cool and acceptable. And I remember the Lord said to me, well, then do the church that you do. And I said, well, that'd be legal. Because I'd have Van Halen on the guitar, and I'd grow my ponytail back, and I'd boo-doo-boo-doo-boo-doo, you know? And the Lord said, do it. And so I ended up going to Oral Roberts University after the military and getting a degree in theology. And then saying, what am I going to do? Because I don't like the system. But I like to see people saved. And I want to see God move. Can he do it in four walls still? Okay. How does that work? So I look for a mission field. I was smuggling Bibles in Eastern Europe during the Cold War. I got out of the military, and I was so bored being a Christian that I found a place where I could go smuggle and get on the edge, you know, and get a rush, you know. Hey, that was wild, you know. God better show up on this one or we're dead. And so one day I was on the Russian border in 1978 in a snowstorm, and I went to some, you know, New Year's Eve Christian secret meeting, because you can't be a Christian back then. And anyway, some guy came over and I was praying. I was studying Russian and German at the same time because I really wanted to do missions in hard places. And the guy gave me a Pentecostal head massage, blah, 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 stuff. And then he said, you're not called to the East. You need to go home. You need to go back to America and be a missionary to America. He said, it's harder to be a believer in America than it is here. Here, you are or you aren't. If you are, you die. If you're a believer here, they come after you. It's hard in the West because you compromise, no one cares. No one's going to get in your space. You just sort of mellow out here and do this and do that, be part of the system. Your church needs missions more than we do. We need Jesus, but you need missions. So I prayed for a unreached people group. Where is it that no one seems to be able to do it? And on the West Coast, it's Anchorage, it's Seattle, it's Portland, it's San Francisco, Reno, Vegas. Those are the most unchurched cities, anti-religious, anti-authority establishments against civil government or against God. And it turned out that I ended up going to Reno, and I coached track at the high school after that time. And then all these football players are getting busted for all kinds of stuff. You know, I'm reading the paper how we'd lose a game and the quarterbacks wasn't playing because he was busted or something. Somebody's in jail. You don't play football in Nevada and usually do really good. UNLV and UNR, they're mid-range programs, but mostly a lot of kids get in trouble because the state is so difficult to be clean in. You don't go to Nevada to be clean. You go to Nevada to act out and to do your stuff and then crawl home broke or whatever it is. And so I said, God, you know, Lord, what am I going to do? And he said, I want you to go bury yourself in with those football players. And I went down to the athletic director and said, you got some screwed up things here. He goes, well, who the hell are you? I said, well, I'm a special ops guy, and I train guys, and I mean, you shouldn't be losing so many players. And he was an F-bombing Catholic. He'd genuflect, get on his knee, come up, and F God, you know. I mean, he was just a cussing Catholic. And he said, what are you going to do to these players? And I said, I don't know. He said, you better not make them. And he used the term. I said, don't sweat it. I'm not going to give you a bunch of, but you want to keep scholarship players? Let me have a couple. Who's your biggest da-da-da? Anyway, and all of a sudden, these guys with ponytails and smoke and getting their girls pregnant and stuff started showing up at my house. Pretty soon, I had 15 guys in my living room, and then 20. And then I got a tent. I put a tent up between fraternity houses, and guys were mooning me on Sunday morning with a beer in their hand, you know. Hey, preacher! I said, hey, I dare you to show up. Get down here. And they'd leave, you know. You're weak! Come under the tent. I dare you. And all these kids didn't fit in church. But they didn't know what they wanted, but they wanted Jesus. Because you had to find a way to get into their lives that wasn't religious. It was real. And I say that because when I got saved, the Lord said, Robert, I want it to stop being about you. I want it to be about me. And you know, you sprinkle a little Jesus on your sin, it smells better. But it hasn't got to the core of what's really going on inside. You know, when you pull the core out, it glows. Stick it back in and screw it in. But you can make it smell good, look good, make all the stuff change around you. But inside, you know you. And the Holy Spirit knows you. Amen. And the Lord would say, it's not about you. It's about me through you helping people. And as I give that intro, which is different than the last one, I didn't know what I was going to say, I want to say today, are you willing to let the Lord touch you today and change you? Did you come for a sermon? Did you come for a speaker? Or did you come with faith and expectation that God is really going to touch you because you're going to open your heart to the message? Because I know the message. Sermons don't set people free. Truth does. The scripture is about the topic that Pastor Josh gave me is, do you love people? And I don't think we think about that a whole lot. You know, we love them sometimes, and sometimes we don't. And sometimes we get rid of them, and sometimes we look at the people asking for money on the corner and say, I don't know, I don't want to contribute to the habit. They probably deserve to be homeless or something. And I remember this last 3 months, there's this lady standing on our corner, and she's there every week, and she's broken, teeth missing, and shoulders with a sign, you know, probably about 45. And I'd pull up, and I'd see her. She'd park there every day. And the Lord say, what do you think? And I go, I don't know. I don't want to contribute. I I want to be merciful. And Jesus said, well, give her money. And I went, I mean, after the 17th time of getting to the red light, and there she is, you know. And he said, what's it to you to be merciful and kind? It isn't your money anyway. Get over it. In my heart, I said, because I'm a judger. I judge the cover. I don't really get to the book. I judge the cover sometimes. So I rolled down my window and called her over. And she looked at me meekly, and I said, here's $20. Oh, bless you, thank you so much. And it really wasn't about giving it to her. It was about me surrendering and saying, leave it alone. I'll take care of it. It's your job to listen to me. It's not your job to figure out how it's going to work out. And I went, and then I go over to Trader Joe's, and there's this Muslim lady. She's a grandma, and she's got two little kids, probably the same ages as Josh's. And they're sitting there reading on a curb while mother begs. And so I see them, and I look at them, and she's, you know, looking at me from afar like all the people drive by her on the corner. And so I walk over, you know. The Lord says, just do it. You know, just, Robert, just do it. I walk over, hi, how you doing, you know? Hi, kids. What's happening, you know? And the lady said, oh, you know, she looked like she was from maybe Jordan or someplace. What's your issue? Well, we have rent, we got this and that, this and that. She, mom looked like, this grandmother looked like she hadn't had a shower or bath. The kids looked pretty clean. So I said, well, I'm for you, and I'm glad that you're going to make it. And here's $20. Oh, thank you so much. Oh, God, thank you so much, you know. And I said, I'm going to look for you again. Oh, yeah, yeah. So I see them the next week, and they're begging on the same corner. I said, did you get any money last week? I walk up, I park my car, don't go to Trader Joe's, grab my bags, hold my bags. Well, hey, how's it going? Last week was a good week, you know, we paid our rent and got hot water, and kids got some school supplies, blah, blah. Good, here's $20. And the Lord says, adopt them. So I don't see them for a couple weeks. Then I go over to CVS, which is like your Publix, Rite Aid place, you know. And there they are over there next to the Bank of America. And I look at them. And the kids look at me, and I go, and they go. So I walk over to these homeless guys. I go, you guys are homeless? No, we have an apartment over here. But these are our issues, and the kids need more school supplies. And the kids are bright, big eyes, like my grandkids. Hi, sir. Hi, you guys. How you doing? Didn't look as clean this time. How's school? What's going on? Here's $30. Oh, God. I'll be looking for you. Thank you. And the Lord says, you're 48 stinking years in Jesus. Act it. Grew a church from 2,000 to 3,000 on the same theme. Love people. Don't judge them. Just love them. People are screwed up. So are you. And what they need is what you've received over the years. Grace, mercy, and peace from God the Father, our Lord Jesus Christ. And for men, you know, I train Navy SEALs. I train Air Force Special Ops guys. I put guys in body bags. I train guys to kill people. And yet, there's a side that Jesus says, I want to be in everybody in every context. I want you to know when to use which gift. But you got to have all the arrows in the quiver to know how to pull them out and shoot them. When you need to be severe, be severe. When you need to be kind, be kind. When you need to be generous, be generous. When you need to be forgiving, be forgiving. When you need to be patient. But if you don't have all those arrows in your quiver, you can't shoot them. You just have, you try to change an engine with a wrench and a hammer. And it's, you can't do it. You need the tools. You need God's tools, the gifts of the Spirit and the fruit of the Spirit and the patience to say, I'm going to love you because Jesus loves you. There's people that are easy to love. Then there's people that are difficult to love. And then I wrote this down between services. It's hard to get men to love because you look weak or you look vulnerable or you break your facade. You know, I got classified as the fittest and mentally toughest 66-year-old in the world. And people have me speak all over the place who are not Christians. Come in and talk as a jock or come in as a coach or as a business consultant. And they say, what was the toughest thing you ever did? 7 marathons in 7 days on 7 continents? You know, Navy SEAL hell weeks? What was the toughest thing? And then I size up the crowd and I say, the toughest thing I've ever done in my life is to walk with Jesus every day. The hardest thing I've ever done is to let him speak to me and then learn to voice his voice and then respond in obedience. Because I don't like half the things he asks me to do or feel. Right? The scripture is this, John 5:39. You diligently study the scriptures. Jesus is sort of calling out the Pharisees or religious people. You diligently study the scriptures because you think that by them you possess eternal life. These are the scriptures that testify about me, yet you refuse to come to me and have real life. You just study the scriptures, but you don't get to the real energy behind the scriptures. I do not accept the praise from men, but I know you. He says it twice. I know you. I know that you do not have the love of God in your hearts, even though you're studying the scriptures every day. And when that came alive to me, I got a degree in theology. I plant a church. I'm a successful pastor. Lord, what are you saying? You don't have the love of God that you should have in your heart for what you know. And I began to cry out, Lord, what does that love look like? And he says, it's to be broken with the broken and broken for the broken. And just quit judging. And if I'm willing to go to the cross and die for people who don't like me, why aren't you willing to be bold enough to go out and be rejected and do my work because they don't get it? But they will. I didn't ask people to like you. I don't need to. You don't need to have your needs stroked to be affirmed and accepted. You need to be me, sweetly, kindly, the best you can to men and women as I lead you. I want you to die, and I want to live in you. And you get in the way. You're in the way, Robert. Your stuff. In Luke 19:41, Paul has that plan. He gets this revelation. I'll read it to you. It says, though I am free and belong to no man, I make myself a slave to everyone. I choose to make myself a slave. Not do my own thing. Not do my thing and ask you to sprinkle Jesus on it. So it's acceptable, maybe. I am going to, you're the master, Here's, put me in chains. I'm the slave. What do you want me to do? I make myself a slave to win as many people as possible. What does that look like? I'm only going to focus on you helping me win people. When I got called to Reno, he said, Robert, don't build the church. Don't build a church. I've called you to be a missionary. Let me build the church. All the pastors are trying to build their churches. Forget it. Just be a missionary in your area. And if you do the work of loving and being a missionary, I'll build my church. And when my church was growing and the other churches weren't growing, and I had guys with ponytails playing guitars, and I had drug addicts as ushers, and you know, I was just, we are going to love people. People would say, what was the deal? I didn't try to build a church. It's too hard for me. But I can get people to love people, and then we'll figure out how to do it as we go. Because I don't know how to do it. I don't. Didn't go to the school of how do you build a church. I went to the school of theology, and it taught me nothing about how to build and Sunday schools and parking lots and music teams and ushers and greeters and Easter and Christmas. I don't know anything about that. I'm first generation. I don't know anything about anything. But I can love people, and we can grow together, and let's make mistakes together. I'll close. So I said, Lord, who do you want to reach? Because I'm running out of time. The Lord said, I want you to do a thing for single moms. So on Christmas, my Christmas Eve service, I rented the big auditorium downtown for 10 years in a row, the big performing arts center. And I advertised in the paper that we're going to be giving money away at Christmas Eve to single moms, that every kid ought to have a Christmas. And single moms struggle the most at Christmas. So if you're a single mom and you're hurting, show up at church on Christmas Eve, and we're going to give away money. And the first year, people just went, you can't do that. I mean, what are you talking about? I said, I don't know. And I said, how much money do you think we ought to put out there in envelopes and 10s and 20s to my congregation, you know, running 3-4 services? How much money should we put on those tables up front? $3,000, $4,000, $5,000? How much do you think? I don't know. So we started, and there ended up being lines of women and kids down the street waiting to get in. Worship team's working. Are we ready? Let's open the doors. And in came all these women and children. The ushers made sure they sat all in the very front, moved to the back. And so then we put a table up in front with envelopes full of money. I'd give some cheesy sermon. Everybody's waiting, drum roll. When's it really going to happen, you know? When are you going to give the money away? So I say, ladies, you can come up now. And I instructed all the ushers, ask them how much they needed. Or what's the limit? 20 is the max, or 30 is the max, or, you know, they may really get greedy and take a lot of money. Just ask them what they need and do what the Lord says. Because you better multiply loaves and fishes, because we may be in trouble. We may run out of money. So the ladies would line up, and I'd have the women and the men line up. How much do you need? How can I bless you? And the women stopped and couldn't take the money. They just broke and cried. We're so broken, we're so embarrassed. We're so embarrassed to have to ask for money. It's okay. We planned on you. Come to the Lord's table. Eat. And the first year, you know, 100 ladies, kids. Second year, 200. Third year, 400 ladies, kids. Became the newspaper item, the church that gives away money. And I always say to the people, how much do you want us to give away? How much of our building fund do you want to give away? How much do you want to plant? How many do you want to trust God? the mayor would come down, the police chief would come down and watch this thing year after year as we gave away money to the poor, to, the, to these really nice ladies, the kids, sometimes single dads. I didn't have to do anything. Sheep reproduce sheep. And they said, we got to go to that church. There's something different about that church. I said to my people, we're not called to do anything but to love people and help them get into rehab. Mental rehab, emotional rehab, physical rehab, spiritual rehab. He came to preach good news to the poor. And the Lord said, just get out of the way. Teach your people to love people. Because the people want to come. They just don't want to come to the system. No one has a beef with Jesus. They have a beef with the system. Right? In my day, people started saying, I'm not a Christian. I'm just a follower of Christ. Because there was such a difference between what people thought Christians were compared to, I want to love people and be like Jesus. Paul had a plan then to reach these people. He said, I'm going to make a plan to save people, to go after people. And then he worked the plan. And he planned the work and he worked the plan. He adjusted as he went. I'm going to close because I've wasted or I've spent my time. But I'm going to do this. How many here would pray this prayer today, which is, Lord, break my heart with the things that break your heart? Yes. Yes. You see, I believe that you're gifted and wired in your personality with your background for certain work, relatability, and that God has placed within you a gift that he wants to use. But, you know, we're just nice people. What do? So I'm going to pray this real quick, if I can have 5 more minutes. I want you to close your eyes. And I want you to open your hands like this, though, like you're going to receive something. Like an expectation. God's here, and he's going to touch me today. Don't know how, but he's just going to show up. And pastors, why don't you guys come up here with me? My face leaks sometimes. And I want to do this. I want to pray this prayer. Father, in Jesus' name, I give you permission to touch my heart and to change my heart and to help me open up to the love that you want to put in me. Make me a vessel that you can use to help people more than I would ever naturally do. Now I'm just going to pray. You just listen. Father, I ask now that you'd come. Holy Spirit, we invite you to come in this house and touch us. We invite you to touch our hearts. We invite you to help us be who you went on the cross for us to become. Now you say this with me, Father, I give you permission to break my heart with things that break your heart. Holy Spirit, I ask you now to come and fill this place with your love. I ask you, Lord, to come with your power, with your supernatural power to convert us some more into your kingdom and your purposes. Holy Spirit, come with your love and put a love in our hearts that we've never had before. As the young lady said, she was in the bath, the trough yesterday, and she just was between like heaven and earth. She was just in the presence of God. And it was just so, she took that first breath coming out of the water. It was so fresh. Lord, show us pictures in our mind of people that you want us to love. Is it kids? Is it single moms? Is it elderly? Is it foreign nations? Is it urban Miami? Is it, who is it, Lord, that you want to say, I want you to pray for them. I want you to feel for them. I want you to care about them. I want you to hear me talk to you about them. Day in and day out, I want to talk to you about somebody. I want to sensitize you to the people that I've put in your heart, the groups that I've put in your heart that need you and your gifting, your personality and your age, that you can do something that others can't do. Come, Lord, with your power. Touch us. And then you say, Lord, touch me. I give you permission to break my heart with the things that are breaking your heart, the things that you saw from the cross. Come, Holy Spirit. I just lift your hands. Say, Lord, touch me. I give you permission, Lord, to touch my heart, touch my mind, touch my will. More of your love, Lord. Just imagine a bucket of love being poured on top of your head for little kids, or for disabled kids, or for homeless kids, or for drug addicts, or guys in jail. Now, I want you to take the position that you feel in your heart. Do you want to stand with your hands raised? Do you want to sit? Do you want to kneel? Take the position that expresses what you feel God is doing inside you. Okay? Take that position now. Some of you will stand, some of you will kneel, some of you will sit. Just whatever God is doing in your heart, do that. Just begin to praise him. Just with your own mouth, just begin to thank him and praise him. Bring healing, Lord. Bring deliverance, Lord. Come, Lord, touch and heal and save. Give hope, direction. With us. Thank you for your love for us. Thank you for your ever faithful to us. We want to do your work. We just don't know what to do. We don't know how to do it. Show us how to be who you want us to be. Deliver us from fear, being afraid of being rejected and misunderstood. We bless what you're doing, Lord. Heal us, deliver us, save us some more. Now the Lord is giving you, many of you, a word and a commissioning. I love you, and this is what I have for you to do. I went to the cross and died for you so that you could be my hands and my feet and my eyes. I wired you a certain way, personality and gifting, so that you can touch certain people for me. But first you have to care.
Thank you, God, for what you've begun in us. And Father, the conversation that you started, God, several weeks back about this kindness and this love, and God, how you keep on revealing more of your love. God, what you said last week with Pastor Andy and how you just bringing it to an even greater place with what you said through Pastor Rob, just challenging our hearts to love like you love. God, thank you for everything that you're saying in our hearts right now and the journey that you have us on, God, to be lovers of people. God, I thank you for that. Thank you. Keep breaking our hearts, God. Keep touching our hearts. Keep challenging us to do things that we've never done before. God, we want to do it. We want to do it. If that's you, just slip up your hand and say, God, I want to do it. Teach me how to do it. God, I want to do it. I want to love people. I want to love people the way that you love people. Lord, we just thank you for this time. God, I thank you that you would just not let any of this get stolen away from us. God, hide this word in our heart. Hide this in our heart, God, that we would continue to grow in your love in every season. God, let us love like never before. Can we just for a moment just thank him? Just say, God, thank you. Thank you for your love. Thank you for what you did today. Thank you for touching my heart. Thank you for changing and challenging me. I love it. Every time I get around Pastor Rob, I get challenged. You need people in your life that challenge you to grow. I really felt in my heart, Pastor Corinne and I, to bless Pastor Rob. So I hope that you'll help me do that today. We want to sow a seed into his life and his ministry and everything that he's doing. I believe whatever soil that you plant into, you get a crop that's related to that soil. Amen. So like if you sow into somebody that loves people, you're going to get some of that love on you. If you sow into somebody that's a soul winner, you're going to get some of that soul winning on you. You're going to get a harvest of that in your life. I want you to help us give today because I want that to get on our church. I want that to get on us personally and corporately as a church. that we would have such a heart, that God would just be breaking our heart all the time for different people groups around us. And God would just make us lovers of people. There's something special when you pray and you receive something. There's also something special about when you sow, you receive something. And so I want to receive some of what God has done in Pastor Rob's life. I want that to get on me. I want that to get on my life. He's going to say something now again.
I got to testify. I got to testify. So I'm up in Alaska, special ops. I'm a Christian and an all non-Christian special ops team. I go to my room a lot, hang out. And I get a book. Somebody hands me this book, or somebody, it's called The God Smuggler. Nice. With Brother Andrew.
Okay.
There was an organization that smuggled. And Christians smuggling Christian literature in and then government documents out during the Carter administration on the Russian violations on the SS-22 missiles. Anyway, I read the book, and like he just said, attach yourself to that thing. Whatever that thing is that you do, you attach yourself. So I'm not a big, I don't know what to do, so I read the book, and I take from my military paycheck, and I send money to that ministry.
Wow, I didn't know that.
I don't tell anybody that. Old story. And I sent this money in to, I don't know, Amsterdam or something, $100. Just, I felt something. So I attached. I got a letter back from them. Thank you. What are you doing? I wrote them back and said, I just was moved. I'm Special Ops of the National. You guys are spiritual Special Ops going behind our curtain countries, and guys are getting caught and put in prison and this and that. A letter comes back and says, we have a national director in the United States. This is a European ministry. Would you like to please, his name is Johnny Mitchell, and he lives in Orange, California, about a mile away from my parents' church.
Wow.
So the Lord tells me to get out of the military, done, go in the ministry. Oh, God. And so I go home, and my dad picks me up to take me to a Bible study. And the speaker of the Bible study ends up being the national president of that organization that morning. What's the odds?
Yeah.
The guy happened to be speaking that morning. And I went up and said, I'm so-and-so. And the guy said, yeah, I know about you. We've been told that, you know, you're blah, blah, blah. And someday I might meet you somewhere. Well, here I am. And he took me in his office and asked me some things. And I was out of the military in 3 months. And in 5 months, I was smuggling in Eastern Europe. I went from planting a seed of $100 to within 6 months, I'm out of the military and I'm smuggling. And that thing about attaching yourself and planting a seed into a something where your spirit says, I want that. And you'll have different giftings come through here, but some you'll just go, ooh, that's me. You know, different topics.
Yeah, absolutely.
Different men with different anointings. I'm not trying to say attached to me. I'm saying if there's something that you know, step out in faith and say, I want that in my life. I want that on me. I don't know how to get it, but by faith, I'm going to attach myself to something and say, God, help me grow in that area. Here's my faith.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
And it worked for me. It changed my life.
Absolutely. Absolutely.